Fly on a Wednesday at Women Venture, which is a brand new, beautiful, big facility just north of the tower. And if you haven't been by, come by. There's a ton of things going on here, a lot of exhibitors and a lot of partners with Women Venture here. And they have always got some kind of cool stuff going on every day. And one of them today was a presentation in Theater in the Woods featuring a fire bomber pilot named Tracy Zedek. And Tracy, we're so happy to have you with us today on the program to talk about your cool and exciting adventure of aviation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So tell us a little bit about your history. Where are you from and how did you get into aviation? And then lastly, how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I'm from Berkeley, California, originally, and I grew up in a non-aviation family, so it kind of took me some time and some courage to start asking questions to figure out how do I get in this industry and what does the industry have to offer. And I always say my older brother, wanting to help without knowing exactly how, said, go get a job at an airport, like,
yeah, well,
and
yeah.
Such simple,
yeah,
simple and solid advice launched a career path that I never imagined I could have. So,
and that was where you grew up in Berkeley, but which airport was that at?
So I wound up starting my flying lessons when I moved to Colorado for school, actually a degree in psychology.
Okay.
Which always scares pilots when I tell them that. So the first airport I went to look for a job was Boulder Airport in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where I was informed about a glider towing company. And I walked in that day, and the office gal there had just put in her notice. So the timing couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah.
She taught me for the next 2 weeks how to run things in the office, and that was my first foot in the door with aviation and surrounding myself by people that could start answering my questions.
That you know, that's great, and it highlights a really important thing, and that is if you're sitting at home wondering how to make your dream happen, just go out and go to where your dream is happening now.
Exactly.
And that's how you start to make it happen. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So then where did you go from there? You worked at this, you worked for a glider operation, it
yep.
sounds like. And then did you learn to fly gliders?
Not gliders. I did have to go for one flight, and it was too quiet for me. So I stuck with engines. And I worked on my commercial license and then my tailwheel endorsement. And then I had to wait for a tow pilot position to open up. And once it did, you know, the company already knew me, and they gave me my first shot.
So they use an Pawnees?
Piper Pawnee,
yeah. Yep. So that's a neat airplane to tow with.
Very
comfortable.
Cool. Yeah.
Very predictable.
Much more fun without the glider on the back.
Well, yeah, of course. Not as fun for the glider pilot, though.
Correct.
So from there, you did that, and it sounds like you had a lot of fun doing that.
Mm-hmm.
What was next?
I had an opportunity to ferry a 206 back from Alaska to Colorado, and my boss had experience in Alaska, so he told me while I was up there I should check out an operation because he knew I wouldn't stay towing gliders forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a letter of recommendation. He was very encouraging. So before I did that ferry flight, I went to Talkeetna, Alaska, and just went door to door with my resume in hand to see if anyone would take me. And it was the last company on the field that actually liked my resume and said, we'll give you a chance. So
wow.
I wound up in Talkeetna taking mountain climbers and tourists onto glaciers in Denali on a wheel ski airplane.
A 185
yeah.
or, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Cessna 185. Skywagon is perfect airplane for that kind of
oh,
thing.
Yeah.
And so how long did you do that for?
I did that for a couple months. It was back, I think, around 2008 or 9 when the recession was happening. So unfortunately, my boss had to let me go halfway through the season.
Hmm.
But I was completely heartbroken and devastated. But I like to tell people everything happens for a reason. Because if that hadn't have happened, my boss wouldn't have given me a relocation bonus of $500, which I wound up spending towards a seaplane rating because I was already up there. And that changed the course of my whole career.
Wow. So you got your seaplane rating. And then I assume that you were you flying in Talkeetna in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you got your seaplane rating, what did you do next? How did you move past the...
So I didn't know it then, what that rating would do for me, but I no one was hiring at that time. So I actually had to move back home with my parents, and I was like, I need to take advantage of this downtime. No one's hiring. What can I do to make my resume more marketable? So I got the seaplane rating, and then I actually enrolled in a community college to go to airplane and airframe and power plant school. So okay. I did that in the evenings. I applied for scholarships, which helped me keep up with flight training during the day. I had a part-time day job. I had a weekend job as a standby charter pilot. So I was just trying to do all the things.
Yeah.
So that whenever people started hiring again, I would be ready. And I was home for a couple years just keeping up with my resume. And then finally, a friend told me about a job in the Maldives, which needed the seaplane rating.
Was that a Twin Otter
it
job?
Was. Yeah. Yep.
So that must have been really exciting.
Definitely.
Flying people to the little cabins on the stilts and stuff in the water.
The water villas. Yep.
The water villas. Yep. Yeah.
So I didn't know where the Maldives was. I had to look on a map when I got the job. But I went over there and I lived there for 3 years building Twin Otter time.
Wow. Very cool. So, and now you're a fire bomber pilot. Mm-hmm. How do you go from the Maldives flying Twin Otters off the water to a fire bomber pilot? And first of all, where are you a fire bomber pilot?
So the company's based in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, okay.
But we fly all over the U.S. And the Twin Otter was kind of the best foot in the door for it. What I fly now is called the CL-415 Super Scooper. So it's an amphibious flying boat. And the Twin Otter checked off the turbine time, multi-engine, two crew, amphib, and that's, the 415 is just a bigger Twin Otter, basically. The only difference now is it's kind of a tease. I can only scoop the water. I can't stop and land or take off anymore. So I kind of miss that a little bit. But, same principle.
My guess is that there's plenty of people that would give you that opportunity if you wanted to do that. So, of course, you're in the busy season right now. It must have been a little hard to get this time off for Oshkosh, but we're glad that you did.
Yeah, I'm really grateful.
Right,
my boss heard that I had this opportunity. I know it's an opportunity of a lifetime, and so he's like, we'll make it happen. So I got someone to cover two of my last days on shift. So I feel very grateful to be here and that EAA asked me here.
Yeah, there might be a really huge fire going on in Oregon, which is probably in your back door.
My last day on shift, I flew 8 hours, which is the max they can fly on a fire near the Dalles.
Yeah.
So, and it's still going.
Yeah, it's a bad one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you see yourself staying in this work, like, for your career?
I do. Yeah, I absolutely love it. I pinch myself every day. It's my dream job. It's work, but it also doesn't feel like work. Like, I'm really lucky.
So, it's kind of like opposite of school teacher work, right? So, fire pilots work all through the summer and kind of take the winter off. What do you do in the winter when you're not fighting fires?
So that was my first thought too when I got hired in 2016. I was like, sweet, fires May to October. I'm going to be a snowboard bum in the winter.
Oh, okay.
But unfortunately, fire season is evolving and it's become more of a year-round job. And
really?
I am hired year-round. Yeah, this earlier this year in January, there were fires in SoCal that my company wound up going to. And then Texas and Oklahoma seem to start up around February or March now. It's definitely slower in the winter, but we're still kind of on call. If there are any slower months, it's filled with recurrent training. So
yep.
That's when we do recurrent flight training, ground school, simulator training. So they keep us busy, but we still have some off time as well.
So you just hit a point that I didn't even think about, and most people probably don't. Simulator training. So do they have good simulations for fighting fires and for getting into canyons and things like that?
Yeah. There's only a couple in the world, and we go to the one in Italy, which is the only full motion simulator that the FAA has actually approved to do type ratings in. So I always tell people it's kind of strange and bougie to say I have to go to Milan every year.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but it's not a vacation.
It's not. Yeah, people. Yeah, it's the hotel room direct to the simulator, lots of stress. I mean, You're doing every emergency possible to experience and keep us current. But my boss, again, is pretty cool, and sometimes he'll let us tack on vacation after our training. So I do get to see a little bit of Europe.
Do you like flying the airplane?
Love it.
Yeah?
It's a very cool airplane to fly.
Tell us a little bit about the airplane. What kind of horsepower does it have?
And it's got 2380 horsepower at Pratt & Whitney 123s.
Wow.
And it's about 27,000 pounds empty. When we fill with water and take into account the fuel, we're 47,000 pounds off the water. So, yeah, it's a big bird.
How many gallons is that in water?
1,600 gallons.
And, of course, you're dumping that in one shot, right? Normally?
For the most part, we have a computer system, so we are capable to divide the load. That's two tanks, and each tank has two doors, so it depends on the tactics. We could just empty one door at a time and string it out, like on a grass fire. That would be a common method. Or probably 95% of the time, we're in salvo mode, which means all four doors open at once.
Okay. Wow, really cool.
Yeah.
So exciting to hear about your story.
Well, thank you.
So if there's somebody out there listening to the program right now thinking, you know what, that sounds really cool. I mean, your journey to that, and everyone's journey is a little different, but some of them are more traditional than others. Your journey was maybe a little less traditional. What would you suggest for them to do?
If they're interested specifically in flying a seaplane on fire, I would say get float time. Or work at a tanker base. Like, if you can either get into fire somehow or on floats, that would be the best recommendation. Alaska has a lot of float plane operations, or the Maldives. And then fire, just maybe becoming an air attack pilot. They normally take lower time folks, and that way you're getting experience with the fire personnel on board with you and learning all about tactics. So they
train you up from less of a total time.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy Zedek, how cool. Thanks for joining us today. What a great story and an inspiration to, I'm sure, some who are listening, which is what we try and do here.
Thank you so much.
EA Radio. So enjoy the rest of Oshkosh, and then you're headed back to work, and I'm sure it's going to be busy.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
But yes. Thank you. Jma G, we're on the fly at Women Ventures. Some really neat and cool stories coming out of this venue. And if you haven't been down here to Women Venture, come down and check it out. There's a lot of things here to see and do, people to meet, book signings, all kinds of things. So we're going to take a break and come back and talk to some drone pilots from Oshkosh. How cool, right?
Yeah.
Jma G, we're on the fly, and you're listening to EAA Radio.